This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Ria Liu. You're listening to Going Global Enterprise, where we speak to promising local tech companies about how they became regional and global players. Increased globalization of business transactions and commerce has resulted in a greater volume of financial payments and transfers between countries. However, there are many inefficiencies such as swift charges, transfer fees, time clearing delays, and policies processes involved with these transactions. Here to talk about a digital platform that provides fast and easy solutions for banks, mobile operators, and individuals around the world across 100 countries. We have Xia Hui Yong, the CEO of Trianglo. Welcome, Xia. Tell us a little bit about your background prior to starting Trianglo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Xia. Prior to starting Trianglo, I was involved in various startup companies and primarily involved in mobile technologies. So from there, well, with the contacts built regionally, then started to found out, to found the company, Trianglo. And because of that, so we have very good access to telecom companies, to financial institutions, and we identify a lot of inefficiencies, and that's why we are here.
Right. So all these startups that you had were involved previously, so they were in financial services, in telco, that space?
That's correct.
Okay, so you come with that background, right? So and then after that, starting Trianglo, how many years has it been? And you know, was it easy to come up, you know, to start this company?
Well, we were founded year 2008, so it's about 10 years ago now.
Okay.
And obviously, starting any company is never easy. As I was saying just now, prior to this, I was heavily involved in telecom industries. And because the nature of telecom industry is more regional, and I got exposed myself to lots of different contacts, different way of doing business in the regions. And we firstly identified the so-called cross-border transfer. And that demand comes from users who actually want to transfer small credits of talk time. So we identified that, and we saw in the market lots of people is actually doing, you know, physical cards. They import, say, Indonesia cards into Malaysia, and the Indonesian actually buys it for the families. And obviously, that's very, very inefficient. Mm. So we started with that as in, hey, why not? Let's hook up the operators across multiple countries. We provide a platform for settlement, for foreign exchange, and for switchings. And we started that year 2008. Start creating the platforms, start talking to the operators. The initial reaction is, CIO, you're crazy, right? Who would want to actually connect multiple operators and ask the end user to transfer the credits? But anyhow, I guess I'm really crazy. So anyway, we went ahead, do it, create a platform. We got some operators, Indonesia, Malaysia, to sign up, and the rest is history. So from Indonesia, Malaysia, we expand more and more countries, start from Asia, Middle East, Europe, Africa, and the last is America regions.
Right. Well, yeah. Does it get easier? Because right now you've got how many employees? You've got a clientele of 600 banks and 250 mobile network operators.
Mm-hmm.
Does it, you know, starts the first one, getting the other partners involved? Was that, does it get easier?
Yeah, obviously it gets easier, especially when we first launched this service. There is no real reference in other parts of the world as well. So we kind of like a pioneer. Well, maybe it's worth first, worth second kind of things. But as we goes on, we successfully build more reference. And that gets easier because other telcos or banks saw what we were doing. It was successful. We were actually doing the right things. And this sort of reference gets things easier. So we don't have to hard sell about our credibility, about the business case of these services. So things get easier, of course, and you build up reputations, you build up your know-how about what's the best practices, the compliance portion of it, and our team internally obviously also gain knowledge about how to scale, how to make things more efficient. To be honest, also we start to learn how to actually treat the foreign exchange. So there are lots of new things that we learned along the way. And I'm glad to say that the team did reasonably well. Moreover, we have no actual reference. But yeah, so far, so good.
Okay. And, you know, would you call yourself a serial entrepreneur?
Kind of. Well, that depends on definition. But yeah, I have founded quite a number of companies. I'm glad to say that most of these companies are surviving, still running. Well, obviously, I spend most of the time on Triangle, but the rest is pretty good as well.
So you've got a good team of people running it for you already.
Yes. Yep.
You can leave that alone. Now, you know, when you talk about what was the business model in Triangle in terms of your payment and top-up services?
Triangle position ourselves as a processor. So we typically do not face any end users. Instead, we face the telecom operators, we face financial institutions, we face payment gateways. So in a layman term, we are like a middleman in between the financial institutions. So we take on payment instructions from, let's say, a payment gateways, and then we process the payment instruction. Basically, it means the foreign exchange, the switching, the business logic checks, and so forth. And then after all is done, then we will go for screening to ensure the anti-money laundering and, you know, the name list, the sanction list are all fulfilled. Then only we went on and proceed the payment instruction to the receiving institutions. And then the transaction will be completed. So what we do then is we essentially charge transaction fees for each transaction we process, as well as the forex spread, the foreign exchange spread. That's the typical business model we do. And it is all very volume dependent. It's very heavily reliant on volumes because each transaction is very small transaction fee. So we specialize in high volume mass payment processing. So if a company has like thousands of payments to pay to, or we are processing on behalf of a remittance company which has tens of thousands of transactions to pay to multiple countries, then we are the kind of a go-to guy to make this thing happen. As we provide a single technical interface, we also provide single settlement interface. So removing all the complexities that is facing by the sending institution. So just by connecting to Triangle alone, we will be able to serve them hundreds of banks across multiple countries.
Right. And would you say your business is largely B2B?
Yes. Yeah. Right? It is a B2B.
So how do you market yourselves? Is there a requirement for marketing?
The marketing part, well, because it's B2B, so naturally our pool of target clients are much smaller than a typical B2C end user type. So credibility, trust, and you know, the reference is very important. I'm glad to say that over the years we have built up a very decent reputations about making the service works. And so our team focuses a lot on a strategic tie up with channel partners. We participate in a lot of business trade shows, and of course we produce a lot of knowledge sharing about the best practices, how to make payment more efficient, more affordable, and we learn along with our client as well. I mean, imagine maybe as recent as 6 years ago, there is no real fintech companies that make cross-border transactions. But for the last 3 years, a lot of our growth come from the fintech company who wants to make cross-border payments or cross-border remittance. So we adjust according to time. We provide the right technologies to support different kind of interface, whether it's web mobile apps and mobile-enabled apps and so forth. This is the sort of things that we build on top of best practice. We build on top of knowledge. And the credibility is ultra important.
All right. In terms of competition, who else is playing in this space?
The field of cross-border payment is very, very wide and diverse. You can technically call banks as a competitor. You can call, say, Western Union as a competitor, and so on. But I guess the main difference is we all kind of serve different kind of channels and niche. So I wouldn't say there's an exact apple-to-apple company who does pay out in top up, pay out in banks, pay out in cash. But we compete with different people on the different channels. Mm-hmm. But we like to pride ourselves as the integrated players who can actually do all sorts of payout options that a customer would need. Okay.
Great. I'm speaking to Sia Hui Yong from Trianglo, and we'll continue our conversation after this. Stay tuned to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Going Global on Enterprise, where we speak to promising local tech companies about how they become regional and global players. Earlier on, I was speaking to Sia Hui Yong from Trianglo. And you know, what is your business philosophy? I mean, you've had several businesses and you're a serial entrepreneur. What is your business philosophy?
The business philosophy, I think first thing first is all the companies that we do is rather on a B2B end, mm-hmm. the back end side. So the philosophy that we do is the efficiencies and the usefulness of service we provide. And we try as much as possible to give a fair value to our customers, our suppliers, our partners. And I trust a lot in human resources, the right team, the right person, mix of bricks. And so I will stress on the right job, the right man or right woman for the right job. So the philosophy is really I want to be fair, equitable, and it's a mass utility kind of services. Mm. So that reflects on Trianglo as well because payment is a utility. Everyone needs to do it. The question is how well, how scalable, how efficient that you can do it.
Okay, so I guess when you go into every business as well, right? Is there let me be a first mover advantage, or is there a philosophy that you believe in?
I would believe that actually first mover advantage might not necessarily be the best, at least in my personal opinion. But what I do believe is anticipating of what's coming next in the next 3 years. According to the technological trend and also because of the financial industry and the regulatory trend. So what is feasible to be launched as a mass service? So in anticipation of this technology, how much we can do, prepare ourselves for it. And also in anticipation of regulatory means how well in different market you can actually scale this. So for example, let's say in Singapore, the regulatory framework allows so-and-so, but that doesn't mean you can do the same in Thailand, for example. So I will always seek out for things which is common enough so that the ability to scale is then become very important. Mm-hmm. Moreover, we tend to focus on the back-end service. So back-end means a lot of volume. So mass volume, scalability, these are the things that I look out for. So first mover advantage, when I say it may not necessarily be a good thing because the anticipation means someone else actually do it and that someone else likelihood is going to be paying for some of the mistake or pitfall of these trends. So
In terms of innovation and being, you know, staying cutting edge, you know, what kind of research or R&D do you do?
Right now, we focus a lot on the RegTech, which is the regulatory technologies. Mm-hmm. And these typically will involve, big data mining and artificial intelligence. Basically, to differentiate the so-called sanctions or blacklisted transactions. But traditionally, there are lots of false positive, and it involves a lot of human screening. Because of these false positives, a human need to read, analyze, and determine whether something is really wrong. So on one part, a lot of data and AI. On the other part will be crypto. We are looking quite a number of crypto trial. And essentially, again, experimenting about how to make it more efficient in cross-border trade or payment. Let's face it, as of today, US dollar is still the dominant settlement currencies. And a lot of time is very dependent on US policies, US correspondent banks. So whether a crypto-based kind of settlement will make this thing more efficient, less dependent on what happens in US. Obviously, these are all experimental stage, and we have a lot of partners, and I think the best part is we can actually utilize them, work together with them to prove a concept before we actually decide to go live, subject to regulatory framework I mentioned just now, as well as technology things that I mentioned.
Okay. In your opinion, are Malaysian businesses ready to adopt new transaction processes or technologies?
I would say definitely. I mean, again, the mass value, you know, the utility, the values, which is apparent, which is measurable. I think any enterprises, any end users will have no doubt try it. But again, because of the fact that Trangler does not actually face end users, so we would like to reflect that kind of advantages to our partners so that these partners can then in turn offer to the end users.
Right. And how do you combat emerging cybersecurity threats and fraud surrounding payment services?
Cybersecurity, huge topic here. Mm-hmm. Of course, again, because Trangler has a B2B companies, we tend to so-called having our transaction fraud at a much, much more low risk level because the fact that we do settlement transactions with the business partners rather than end user. But nevertheless, within Trangler, we do the best practices that we can. So we do have yearly security audit. We go through with some PCI ASV vendors to assess our systems. And of course, we implement measures internally, whether it's on human side, whether it's on the system side, to ensure the best compliance and security that we can. But nevertheless, cybersecurity is going to be a huge thing when we talk about more and more financial service going electronic manners. So a lot of partners is also undergoing changes and improving their own offerings to the customers. For Trangler case, we are focusing very, very much on ensuring that the transaction between businesses, between Trangler and our partners, are properly encrypted, secure, and meet all the kind of regulations that is required.
Right. And what do you, apart from security, what do you see are the new and emerging problems hindering the company in terms of cross-border payouts and transfers? Would it largely be security only?
I think the other main risk in regards to especially cross-border payments would be regulations, actually. As you can imagine, when we deal with multiple countries, the different regulators has different views about what should be done. So one of the key risks is about making sure that Trangler is able to comply with different kind of regulatory framework as well as regulations. And moreover, the technology moves so fast that usually regulator is not able to keep up. So, for example, things like cryptocurrency, for example, most regulators don't have sufficient rules to govern it. But this is the fact of life, as in financial technology keep on evolving. So for us, regulatory risk is one of the other key concerns. The second key concern will likely be the foreign exchange market. I mentioned just about US dollar, about political situation in US with China, with so and so. And that makes the market very jittery. The foreign exchange is sometimes highly volatile. Having a mechanism, for example, maybe a crypto settlement currency, could potentially help. But nevertheless, we are always being exposed to the different political situation, different financial situation in different countries. And we really, really have to stay on top of it.
Right. I know you're working with MDEC, of course, with their GAIN program. You know, and one of the things, of course, they work with companies to help them visibility, market access, money and mentorship, right? So in which area, you know, have they been most helpful working with you?
I think working with MDEC definitely give us a lot of visibilities. And also some of the credibility about being a Malaysia digital companies. We work together with a couple of programs to increase the overall visibility of what we offer. Because again, Trangler is largely behind the scene. So we are not geared towards making a lot of public PR or communications. So working with MDEC give us the kind of resources to help us better articulate to our potential partners and maybe to the press media as well.
All right. What can we foresee from Trianglo, till the end of the year, till 2019? What are the plans?
The big plan for Trianglo will be we are going to offer more payment solutions. So we talk about cross-border payout. And we are also working on products whereby we will allow companies to have the ability to collect payment as well. And when we say payment, we are talking about collections on bank accounts in various countries. So you can imagine that Trianglo is providing a banking-like kind of services that is geared towards payment, especially cross-border payments. As we see the internet commerce, the trade is going more and more cross-border. I would say the needs to be able to pay and receive money from multiple countries will be a norm. Mm. And we do foresee that is a opportunity that we need to serve to our customers. So you can expect Trianglo in the near future as we definitely going to support much more countries, but we're also going to offer a lot more payment collection methods that will allow a company to actually conduct their business in multiple countries easily.
Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Siahu Yong from Trianglo. For more information on the MDEC GAIN program, head on over to their website, mdec.my/gain. And Going Global is brought to you by the MDEC GAIN program, Building Global Tech Champions. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.